Okay, there's another nekuda related to Bishul Hacham that's important to discuss, and that's how exactly we define Bishul, particularly in terms of cooking that takes place without an actual flame. So the sugya actually begins more in the Sechah Shabbos than it does concerning Bishul Hacham. The Mishnah in the third parak of Shabbos discusses what's called Bishul Bechama. If a person cooks something on Shabbos in the sun, you take an egg and you put it out to cook. So you normally would think that can never happen. I challenge you, you could probably try it today if I'd be nice and broil pretty quickly. So if a person cooks an egg in the sun, is that considered to be Bishul or not? So the Mishnah says no. The Mishnah says that's not Bishul min HaTorah, it's not even Bishul min HaRabbanan. Why is it not considered to be Bishul at all for the purpose of Hilchos Shabbos? So that's a little bit less clear. So the simple reading of Rashi, this is the way Ramosha understood Rashi, is that it's what's called Bishul Shalo Kederech. That is considered to be the abnormal way of doing things. We know in Hilchos Shabbos, doing things in a normal fashion is critical. It's if a person writes with their left hand, so that's not Malacha Deraisa. Person carries something, sticks it inside the hat or something, that's not carrying Midaraisa. So to cooking in a flame is normal, cooking the sun is Amashuradika thing, and therefore it cannot possibly be a Deraisa. Why that becomes Mutlach Adchila is a more of a Hilchos Shabbos than a Bishul Hacham Shaila. Generally speaking, things that are done Kaleachayad and Shabbos are still prohibited in the Rabbanim, but we're not learning that right now. The Chofan, according to Rav Moshe's understanding, the reason why Bishul Bechama is not a Bishul is not for any real objective reason, but rather just simply because it's not normal. And therefore, Moshe writes, what if you live in a society where it is normal? You live in a time when it is normal. Say you live in there, it's all solar heating, so it's very normal to heat up water in the many of the showers that you may be taking, maybe solar heating. So that would therefore become a Malacha Deraisa. It's not a Chik for a Yav, or that Bishul Bechama is only Derabanan or Mutter. It's only because it's not normal. Once the standards of normalcy change, then the Halacha will reflect that as well. And Rav Moshe was asked in this contest concerning microwaves on Shabbos, cooking something, taking raw food and sticking to a microwave on Shabbos, putting aside all the electricity, all the other issues, just in terms of the Halacha Bishul itself. So Rav Moshe writes, it depends. If microwaves are normal, so then it's a Malacha Deraisa. If cooking in a microwave is abnormal, then it would not be a problem. Is cooking in a microwave normal? So Rav Moshe was asked to Shaila back in the 1950s, so it wasn't so normal then. So Rav Moshe writes, microwaves were just invented fairly recently. He doesn't think they're so normal now, but he suspects that they're going to become more and more normal as the years go on, which in fact has clearly happened. So therefore, if a person has to heat up water or cooks an egg, or does some kind of a cooking in a microwave, so that would be normal. I don't think most people cook steaks in microwaves, but if you have other kind of normal cookings in a microwave, that would be Bishul Deraisa and Shabbos.
Is cooking eggs considered normal in
the microwave? I think so, yeah. I think that is normal. So Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed with this Chakra Moshe. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that the reason why Bishul Bechama is not a Malacha Bishul has nothing to do with being normal. There's an objective criterion in Halacha called a fire, called an Eish. In order to constitute Bishul in Halacha, there has to be an Eish present. Rav Shlomo Zalman had an interesting raya. That Eish is critical, it's not so much a function of normal versus not normal. The Gemara has a machlokes about if a person lives in Tveria and the cooked food, Bechame Tveria, and the hot springs of Tveria, would that be Bishul on Shabbos or not? Would that be a Malacha Deraisa or not? So the Gemara says that according to one opinion, Bishul Bechame Tveria, there's no real flame there, so therefore it's not considered to be Bishul Deraisa. And the other day it says, no, there is a flame there. Where's the flame? The Gemara says, Pisra Shogahenim Sham, whatever that means exactly, figuratively or literally. It means there's some kind of an Eish. So we know that the source of the hot springs of Tveria from the inside of the earth is pretty warm down there. So that's the Machlokes of Tanoim, whether that's considered to be an Eish or not. So Shlomo Zalman says, why is Tanoim having a theoretical Machlokes, what the source of the flame is? Why don't you just go to Tveria and ask the people, is this normal or not? So if the people say that it's normal to cook in the Chamei Tveria, you should be chayev. If they say that it's crazy, they should not be chayev. It says of Shlomo Zalman, you see from here that it's not so much a function of normal versus not normal. There's some kind of official objective criteria called Eish, and now we're just not sure whether the Chamei Tveria constitutes Eish or not. So how does this impact in terms of Hilchos Bishul Hacham? So according to Rav Moshe, if Bisman Azeh microwaving is considered to be normal and it would constitute Bishul on Shabbos, then it would constitute a problem with Bishul Hacham as well. So let's say you would a non-Jew would make an egg for you in a microwave, that would be a real problem. That would for sure be Bishul Hacham according to Rav Moshe. What about according to Rav Shlomo Zalman? So Lechor, if you would have asked me, I would have said that according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it should be okay, because if it's not called Bishul, so it's not called Bishul. Chazal were misakin that Bishul Hacham is also, they weren't misakin other things. Bishul Hacham is Mishkin Bishul, because Bishul requires a flame. That's what I would have said. That's what some poskim tachos say. The only problem is that there are others who claim that they spoke to Shlomo Zalman about this. I don't know whether we have it in print, but there are people who have told us that they spoke to Shlomo Zalman. He himself thought that there was a problem of Bishul Hacham and microwaves. So why that should be so, I don't know. Again, so there were some poskim who were making outright on the microwaves based on that idea of Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Moshe would clearly disagree with that, and it's not even clear what Shlomo Zalman personally held about that. The frozen foods depends whether the food was fully cooked already. So if the food was fully cooked, you're just reheating it, that's okay. Like we said before, that would not be a problem. But if you're taking a raw food and cooking it in the microwave, that would be a problem. So this was the big machlokes in Dunkin' Donuts for many years, because Dunkin' Donuts, they make eggs. So you walk with the Dunkin' Donuts and the guy presses the button and throws the eggs to the microwave, press the button. So would that be a pose a problem with Bishalakam? So for many years, there used to be a machlokes within the Dunkin' Donuts in Teaneck against the Dunkin' Donuts in the five towns as to what the policy should be on this. So in Teaneck, we were always making that you can have the goyim pressing the button on the eggs, and they were assuming that it wasn't considered to be bishalach because it was all derech microwave. In the five towns, there used to be a sign on the Dunkin' Donuts in the five towns. Anyone here from the five towns? Nobody? We have 15 guys and not one guy from five towns. Nobody. Okay. I guess we're all eating the Dunkin' Donuts right now. So in the five towns, there used to be a sign on Dunkin' Donuts there that if you're ordering eggs, so make sure to press the button yourself. It shouldn't be a shot of kashrus. So it could be that this man is there, there's no machlekes anymore, that one, nobody has to worry about the eggs in Dunkin' Donuts anymore, because their experts have told us that the eggs are no longer eggs. But if they ever were eggs, I can't tell you. They're some concoction of artificial reconstituted eggs or something. So they're beyond the point of any recognition of Allah Shulchan Aruch or anything of that shape or form, and therefore the feeling is that the Yesh Makom Hakol. Okay, so even the firmies who are pressing the buttons on the microwaves maybe have a right to be a little bit more mabel today. Yeah. So you live in Teaneck, what's your problem? You've never had a problem.
No, half hour of the extent, Bishop Shulchan
Aruch. So on Shabbos that would be a p'tur. The question is how much is that spill over to Bishop Shulchan Aruch? I don't know.
How much is fully cooked corn? Because Shabbos you have different...
Right, so as we mentioned a little bit the other shiur, that if a goy cooks something to Maicha ben Gersoy, and the Jew, which after that, so we are making, he goes into the most making that.
From the start, where is the egg that Dunkin' Donuts used to cook?
Right, so that's part of the old story about factory stuff, that we've mentioned this the other day also, stuff you can never find the guy in the first place. It could be that those kinds of eggs, the reconstituted eggs, are in Olah Shulchan Aruch. They generally don't serve those kinds of things in the White House. So usually they serve fresh eggs. I don't know.
Do you know those packaged foods at like any drugstore, like any bar, that version? How do they get around the
Shulchan Aruch
to give it?
Right, so most of the problems, so many of these things are not really Olah Shulchan Aruch, many of these things. So they're not such fancy kinds of foods. They wouldn't really serve them in a fancy meal. So most of these things are not really Shulchan Aruch, like potato chips, things like that. Are probably not Bishalachim altogether. Okay? That's probably the cooler behind most of these things. That's what most folks can say, that Olah Shulchan Aruch doesn't just mean the president eats it once in a while. It means it would be considered to be a respectable thing on the menu. You're having a steak dinner or something. President of France comes to the White House, they're not giving him hamburgers. They're giving him something fancy. Maybe hamburgers is the Olah Shulchan Aruch. They do serve it at weddings. And all the station, all the adults always go to eat the hamburgers. I never understood, you go to a wedding and have a hamburger and french fries, and come to Cole to eat that. Okay, back to our story. Sometimes you have shadows that come up with Bishalakam, we're not even sure what the din is, or we're not sure what the Messias is. So we have a right to be very makel in Hilchos Bishalakam, because Bishalakam is only Midirabbanan. When we say the Minat Torah, as long as you know for a fact the food is kosher, there's nothing to worry about. This whole thing is a gzeira atu chasnut. So therefore we have a right to apply sometimes the principle called Sveka Darban Lekula. That's what the post came out in Shulchan Aruch, that let's say you don't know whether something is Bishalachim. What do you know? You know, you're not sure whether the non-Jew turned on the fire or the Jew turned on the fire. So you try to find out. If you can't find out, then we have a right to rely on Sveka Darban Lekula. Remember talking about eggs. So years ago, before the summers, way before I used to come to Kollel, so we used to go to L.A. in the summers. And I used to run a Kollel in L.A. at the time. So we had a couple of bachur from Yeshiva would come with me. So we used to learn, anyone here from L.A.? No one from L.A., no one from L.A. Where do you guys live? Where? Teaneck, okay. All right, so we used to run a kol in Beth Jacob, one of the big shuls in L.A. So we used to have daven in the morning, and we'd have breakfast, and we'd learn most of the day. So for breakfast, it was usually a cheapy kind of breakfast, but on Rosh Chodesh, they used to try to make it nice. There weren't that many Rosh Chodeshim in the whole summer, so they made it nice, like once or twice the whole summer. So they gave us some fancy, spenty eggs one day. So the problem was that it was a non-Jew who was working in the kitchen who was making the eggs for us, and it wasn't 100% clear whether he had turned on the fire or the fire had been on before. There was a whole mix-up in terms of what happened with the fire. So we couldn't get a straight answer because the non-Jew didn't speak English and we weren't so fluent in other languages. So we reached a point where it was a suffix, Yeshul Barer, couldn't figure out what happened. So I was making a possibility, everyone's allowed to eat the eggs. So they couldn't believe me that I was going to eat the eggs. I said, of course I'm going to eat the eggs. It's something derban lekuli. Allow the mice to light the eggs. They were cooked already. So mikra din. It's a stuffing bishalachan. It can't be mivara. So the mikra din is going to be mutter. There is another issue.
Is the halacha of
having
to
go to the
shiur like
that? So you're afraid you're going to marry his daughter. The shum b'no sehen. That's the problem. You're going to marry his daughter. The Mishnah tells us in Masechet Avodah Zarah, the same Mishnah that speaks about Bishalachim speaks about a parallel halacha called Pasachim. The bread was baked by a non-Jew, so it's the same problem, the same concern. So therefore, the Mishnah says that Mikra Din, any bread that was baked by a non-Jew, is automatically off limits. Even if you know all the ingredients are kosher, it doesn't matter. Just the mere fact that it was baked by a goy is a problem. Nevertheless, the Gemara already begins to chisel away a little bit at this issur, and then the Rishonim a little bit more, and the Rishonim add on a little bit more. It basically comes down to the following dilemma. That the issue of Pasachim is a very, very difficult issue to observe, because this show you can live without. So let's say the goy cooks your chicken, so you'll eat something else. The goy cooks potatoes, you'll eat something else. Whereas if the goy is making bread, and what if he's the only baker in town? People didn't have their own ovens, people weren't baking their own bread. So it's very, very hard to get bread, and people need the bread to live on. So therefore the Rishonim write that the Gezeirah of Pas was never really miskabel legamri in Klal Yisrael. It was never really fully accepted in all of Klal Yisrael because it became very, very difficult to observe. So the Gemara tells us we have a rule that when Chazal make a Gezeirah, so we have to make sure that the Tzibur is able to accept the Gezeirah. For whatever reason, the Tzibur is not able to live up to the standards of that Gezeirah, and the Gezeirah basically disappears. Not literally disappears, it has to be misbatla by another Beis Din, but pretty much a Gezeirah she'enet Rav HaTzibur Chol Lamed Bo and Lo Pashtabur of Yisrael, if it never really took on, then that Gezeirah is not really going to apply in full force. So that's what the Rishonim explained in the Sechem Bechem of the Sechem Avodah Zarah, that unlike Bishul Akum, which was accepted and is now in full force as well as that, Pas Akum was never really fully accepted by Klal Yisrael, and therefore almost like a little bit of a compromise was reached, that based on the Rishonim explained that if the Pas was made by a Balabayas, it was made by a private citizen, a private person, so that's a much more reason of concern of Chasna. But if it was made by a professional baker, even though you know who the baker is, but you're not really socialized with the baker, you're just going to pick up something from the local bakery, so that's much less of a reason to be worried. And that's what's called an halacha pas palter. And Chazal will make you that as long as it's pas palter, then it's okay. So bishalacha, we don't have that kula. Let's say there's a goy who's cooking for you, even though it's not your personal friend, that would still be a problem. But by pasacha, because of the concern, mishum chayei nefesh, that people really needed bread, so Chazal built in that kula, and that's how we practice arayim ezeh. The pas that was baked by a goy, as long as it's not a private goy, it's more of a business kind of a relationship, so then that mikra din is mutter when it comes to a pasachim. There is a machlekes haposkim. Is that like the greatest kula under the sun? Or is that only a kula that if you can't get pas Yisrael, you're allowed to rely on that kula? That's the machlekes that some people say, I'm makbid in pas Yisrael. What does it mean, I'm makbid in pas Yisrael? What that means is, I don't want to rely on the kula pas palter, and I'm going to try to bend over backwards to get Jewish baked bread. Those who are not makbid in pas Yisrael, so then it doesn't matter. So they'll eat the bread that was baked by a goy, as long as the ingredients are kosher, the OU says it's kosher. Just because the OU says it's kosher doesn't mean that it's pas Yisrael, unless it says on a pas Yisrael. So they're relying on the kula pas palter, which is how we are knowing. So most people in our community are makel that pas palter is mutter legamrei. And there are those who are extra mach when they say that one should only try to eat pas Yisrael if one is able to. Are we nervous? We are nervous about it, but the Chazal have to always balance the concern about intermarriage with the fact that people have to have something to eat. So that's where we have this little bit of a compromise when it comes to pas Akum, unlike Bishul Akum. Yeah, it's a low quote. It's across the board. Yeah, whether you understand his language or not, there's always a concern. Right? The Rishonim write that even if the person who's baking for you is a priest, he doesn't get married. He doesn't have a daughter. So the Rishonim write, doesn't matter. Even if it's a Komi Akum, and they don't have any children, still, that's a low quote across the board. So because Pas Palter is a little bit of a kula, so we're not thrilled about this kula, that's the reason why the Gaonim already write, we have a tradition that we don't rely on this kula during the Seder Tzimei Teshuvah. As Meshuvah, we try to live up to a little bit of higher standards. We hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down at us, and sees that we're trying to be a little bit better than we are during the rest of the year. So therefore, one of the things that we don't rely on during the Meshuvah is this kula of Pas Palter. That's why probably most people have heard of this idea. During the Meshuvah, everyone's supposed to be Machlin and Pas Yisrael. There are some who have a custom that on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, they try to also live up a little bit of higher standards. So the trial needs to be machpin and pasul, at least in Shabbos and Yom Tov. But again, but that's this chumra, this minhag of observing pasul Yisrael during the teshuva already appears in the Gaonim, Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch, and this is a pretty universal custom. Once you try to be machpin a little bit in this. So again, so pasachim for the most part doesn't apply for us b'zman hazeh. It does apply during the teshuva, and we have to spend a little bit of time, hopefully tomorrow, to figure out what is pasachim, what's not pasachim. Where do you draw the line? Not everything is clear cut, whether it's pasta or whether it's bishul. If it's bishul, it's more problematic than if it's pasta. So bread is obviously one thing, and chicken is obviously something else. But there's a lot of foods in between bread and chicken, so we have to try to figure out what the status of some of these other foods are and how it plays out in terms of bishul akum as well as pasta.
Thank you.
I'll take the drill.